big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, it's back to old things, nerdy conversations, and lactose intolerance. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
That's a very, very specific thing to bring up in the intro, this lactose intolerance, and we'll get into that and more.
we don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
After
right?
Our hey everybody, my name is intro. My name is Travis. Yeah, you're Travis. I'm Brandon, and Chelsea is not with us anymore.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Right before we started recording, I was like, "Okay, you ready to go?" She's like, "No, you and Travis do it." I'm like, "Well, no, come on." She's like, "No." Travis is back. You can do it with him.
And she really liked my isopropyl alcohol joke last week. Apparently she listened back to the episode and it's like, I'm cracking up. Isopropyl alcohol got me twice. So if you don't know what we're talking about, make sure you catch last week's episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Did you listen back to it?
I didn't. No, because okay. I was on it.
Yeah.
And the ones I'm on, I don't really listen to that often.
Yeah. Yeah. True that. Chelsea's like, did you listen? And I'm like, I don't ever listen. I don't ever re-listen.
Even when I'm editing, I don't listen.
It is true. I tend to not. The only time I listen is to remember where the ad break is supposed to go. Man, I've been doing pretty good.
And that's not 100% of the time either. Yeah, no. That's only occasionally. Well, if you're new here, if you're just listening for the first time and you have no idea who Chelsea is, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. There are plenty of ways that you can get in contact with us. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. You can send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We're on Instagram @apathetic_enthusiasm. And you can find us on the web at apatheticenthusiasm.com. You can find video versions of this podcast over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. This episode brought to you by Red Vines, because Twizzlers suck. That's Red Vines.
They do. And it's a classic podcast conversation topic, Twizzler versus Red Vine. But we all know what the answer is.
I don't know if it's a regional thing, because we're both SoCal boys. We mm-hmm. both grew up in the beautiful West Coast of California.
California, yeah.
And we're both Team Red Vines. Mm-hmm. I had an informal poll in my office about a year or two ago, and Twizzlers beat out Red Vines by like a landslide.
Yeah.
One of our mutual friends... we'll call him Matt, not Matt, but we'll call him Matomsky. How about that?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was very adamant that Twizzlers were far superior to Red Vines. So much so that when one of our coworkers had one of the giant tubs of Red Vines on their desk, and he would go and peruse and sample the fine goods of the Red Vines. He tried to keep it a secret from me that he was eating Red Vines because he didn't want me to have the satisfaction because he was so adamant that Twizzlers were better. But I feel like Twizzlers are too waxy. They're too they get too stuck in your teeth.
People say they say that Red Vines are too plasticky. They taste like plastic, and that's what I feel about with Twizzlers is. Yeah. It's like when I was a kid and I got that plastic toy out of the gumball machine and it came out of a gumball machine. So why not eat it? It tasted like plastic because it was plastic.
You were eating plastic as a small child. That's the lesson. That's the big takeaway.
Small. you know, I was pretty big for my age.
And the thing that Red Vines has over Twizzlers is the ability to use it as a straw is far superior.
Oh yeah.
Twizzlers, sometimes you can't even get a solid sip from a Twizzler, but a Red Vine, you bite each end off of that sucker, you're hydrated.
you don't even talk to me about that, you know. Especially with like a good Coca-Cola classic or a Slurpee, an Icy, right? Like,
yeah.
And then like the straw, the Red Vine, it freezes up. It gets very like, it's hard and brittle, but then like it's not going away. Really, that's what California should replace their straws with.
Instead of paper straws, we should just have Red Vines for every beverage.
Yeah. And people are like, well, my diabetes came back because I got some straws.
Like the straws we have now, nobody's telling you you have to eat them. Like that's a choice that you make. So it's the same is true for Red Vine straws, and they could make them different flavors. Like, mm-hmm. like not a lot has changed in the Red Vines organization in the last couple of decades.
Yeah. You don't,
if not century.
Red Vines has the ability. I'd say the advantage of not having to change their recipe, you know, to meet different waves of demand. Like they don't have to reinvent themselves because they're so successful that they're pretty solid as they stand.
Also, they kind of painted themselves into a corner when they named them Red Vines. Like it really limits the number of flavors you can make.
Well, we got apple and cherry and strawberry and raspberry and
fruit punch. They could actually probably make a lot of flavors now that
red velvet. Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. Oh.
What does this Red Vine taste like? Chocolate.
Ew. Anywho,
all right, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for listening.
For those who listened to last week's episode, you know, I didn't listen to all of it, but it was hectic. It was somewhat chaotic.
A little bit.
I don't know if you felt that way as we were recording. Like,
I don't know if I would use chaotic or hectic necessarily. I just think that, I mean, we've been podcasting, the two of us, for over 10 years. Like we have kind of gotten into a little bit of a groove, the dance, the choreography of this this little thing we do called podcasting, where
the one-two, you know,
exactly, and
rope-a-dope.
I would say, especially in the episodes that I listened to with you and Chelsea, there was a lot of that too. You guys have a natural rapport with one another. You've been married for a minute or two.
Rope-a-dope,
like rope-a-dope, yeah. And so then you get the three of us in there and you say something funny and it's my natural inclination to jump in and respond, to add to it, to counter that point. But I think the same may be true for Chelsea in a lot of times. So then there would be moments where we're talking over each other or finding like, okay. All right, no, she's going to talk about this. All right, I'll back off. And then, it's the double dutch, right?
Like, yeah.
Is now the time? No? Okay, all right.
No, yeah, and you know, also the slight delay of recording from a distance. There's always that. Sure. I'm in the room with her, so, you know, she can, like, punch me in the knee underneath the camera and be like, shut up, you know, it's my turn to talk.
I have to hire an Uber driver to do that.
Hey, yeah. How's that going? The business, the Uber business.
I don't know. I haven't done anything with Uber in over a year.
Oh, I thought Sheena was doing Uber.
like a year ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then we stopped.
I mean, completely. You're not doing Uber. You're not an Uber driver.
Yeah.
Would you be an Uber driver? Uber driver. Would you do that? Would you be an Uber driver?
I would not like to be. I don't know that I would like to do like the driving where you like pick people up and like have to have people in your car. I don't necessarily like doing that when it's people I know, let alone, you know, strangers. And then you have to, what brings you to the city? Oh, you live here. Okay. Oh, just going to get drunk. Cool. way to be smart about it. Five stars me. Do you like this music? Are you into Michael McDonald?
Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable in the back there? I cleaned it up.
Okay. Froggy.
Yeah. Well, so I wouldn't go into a, if I was an Uber driver, I wouldn't volunteer my conversation skills to the passenger, and they would drag it out of me.
They gotta like and subscribe for that stuff.
Yeah. Well, funny you should ask. If I like that, let's turn to episode 14 of my hit series.
that's your Uber strategy, is you just drive an Uber around playing episodes of your podcast.
Yeah,
with no other option.
If you want conversation, check out episode 138 when Travis and I talk about a movie or psychology.
Yeah, pick a topic and then I'll play an episode of the podcast that most pertains to it.
Hey, Alexa, what is the what episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm do we talk about?
Large language models are not that advanced.
Oh, yeah.
They don't listen to this show.
They're like, no, this is boring. Like, no, ChatGPT, listen. Like, nah.
Stop it.
Kill myself.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I don't want to Uber, but Uber Eats, however, been using the heck. Well, Uber Eats, DoorDash, all the, you know, Postmates type organizations.
You know what? I haven't fully grasped this yet. Okay. But what is the difference between Uber Eats, DoorDash, Postmates? Because sometimes I'm like, why aren't all the restaurants I want in just one of them? Sometimes like there's a McDonald's on this one, but there's not a McDonald's on this other one. Not that I want to order McDonald's to go, but I just don't understand why something is on one app versus the other.
I think purely speculation for me, but I feel like obviously there's something with each application because there's the customer facing side of it, right? The app on your phone that you and I use, but then there's got to be another side of that is placing orders with different restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some restaurants can handle sourcing different orders from different apps and being able to like coordinate that. I don't know how complex that is. Maybe is it simple? Does it come in just like a phone order? Does it just print out a sticker? And is it tied into your point of sale service? Do you have to check different apps? Like, I don't know how any of that works. So that may be one reason, at least for some businesses, to be like, yeah, we're just going to do DoorDash because they only take X percent and Uber Eats takes Y percent of our.
So you don't know the answer.
No idea. As I opened with, I'm purely speculating here.
You don't know the answer. No, you know, it just feels like you're just throwing stuff out there. I am. I thought it was going to be interesting.
All right, let's Google. Welcome to the segment we call Google This with Travis.
Googling with Travis. Googling with Travis.
I'm actually not typing anything. Yeah, if I was, good. You would hear it on my very clicky keyboard.
Clickety clack. You have a mechanical keyboard.
Yeah, it's something. It's old. It's a Logitech one. Uh-huh. It has RGBs on it.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Let's see, Logitech G213. This actually brings up a very good point that I wanted to discuss with you on the podcast.
Conversations with super fucking boring. Like, oh yeah, let's talk. Actually, yeah, I want to talk about my Apple keyboard.
I want to talk about my keyboard. No, So we've been podcasting a long time. I have been using the computer that I am on right now for podcasting close to 10 years.
Wow.
It is a Windows PC that I bought all of the pieces for and built sort of a gaming computer, like 9 years ago. And let's just say it is not the optimal machine anymore. It's still getting the job done. I can record on it. I can surf the web. I can play some games, most new modern games. It struggles, like Baldur's Gate. They were T-posing all over the place. It became unplayable.
Yeah.
It ran Cyberpunk for a little while. I don't know how well it would do right now. but yeah, so that for that reason, I decided, all right, for my gaming needs, I got the PlayStation 5. I was like, that I'm not sitting back in my little closet office back here playing games that often anyway. So having the I don't know what's the word I can't think of right now. The
mobility,
the options. Hmm. Yeah, the choice. Having the choice with the PS5 was a little bit nicer. But here I am with the computer again. Like, it's time to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So I started down the rabbit hole last night of thinking, like, do I attempt to upgrade this computer? Because I built the PC with that in mind. Like, as things get older, I can upgrade a video card, or I could upgrade a processor, and then I'm staying, you know, modern without breaking the bank.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Well, a decade snuck by, and now like most of the computers way too outdated to where I would have to replace probably the motherboard, the processor, definitely the graphics card. At that point, the RAM's probably not compatible with that, whatever the new mother. I think I could keep some of the hard drives. The hard drives would probably be okay.
Okay.
Power supply probably need to be replaced as well. So now I'm looking at other options. I flip-flop back and forth PC, Mac all the time. And Mac has come out with this small form factor Mac Mini that's only like 5 inches by 5 inches by 2 inches. Mm-hmm. It's basically just a little bit bigger than the Apple TV. And it sounds like it would do everything that I need in terms of being able to still podcast, surf the web, catalog all of my Lorcana cards, and, you know, like, just do all that nonsense. And it's only like $500.
I mean, they pack a punch, you know, with that M2 chip. Still packs a pretty good punch.
Pretty good. So good. It makes my voice really high.
It packs pretty good punch.
Is that what you're using?
No, I'm using I'm using a MacBook Pro for recording.
Okay,
but I bought a MacBook Air which has an M2 or M3 chip in it. And that was only like $500-$700. And that thing plays games pretty well. The reason I bought that was I moved a lot of my music stuff into the garage. And so I didn't want to like move my MacBook Pro all the way into the garage back and forth. I just wanted it to be there, portable, be able to set up and just start recording right away. That little thing kicks ass. Like, it is so strong and does everything I need it to do. And if you're not, for again, you have your PS5. If you don't need something to game on, you know, like you don't need a PC. PC.
Yeah, I don't think I've owned a lot of Macs. We're not going to get into the Mac versus PC debate in this podcast because we've hashed that out many a times, and I'm fond of both for different applications.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like just the fact that it's pretty small. It could sit on this desk instead of having to sit on like the floor, like next to the desk or something. I have all the other accessories and monitors and things that I could need to get the most, you know, utility out of it. I'm thinking real hard about getting one of those. So I don't know if anybody has a Mac Mini and has negative thoughts about it or reasons that I shouldn't get it. Hit us up in the comments, hit us up in, email or whatever. And let me know what I should get. I looked up my PC parts on PC Part Picker, and so many of them are not even for sale anymore. Like, they don't sell them anymore. So if anybody is even remotely curious about what is in this computer and thinks that it's worthwhile to try and upgrade, I would love to hear those thoughts too. Cause there's so many nerds I work with that I could be like, hey, this is what I have. What do you guys think? They'll be like, oh, you can get all these parts for just $3,500. And then you're set. I'm like, yeah, that's not the goal. I don't want to spend that much on the computer.
Yeah. People ask me from time to time about, like, oh, you're a Mac fanboy, because I get Mac products. But you know, like, I like my gaming laptops when I had them. Travis showing his Apple logo on his water bottle. I liked my gaming laptops. I like my PC. But when we started podcasting, I think the first thing I bought was, I didn't buy it. Like, I would think we were recording off of a PC laptop. And then I was like, you know, let me get a Mac. Let me get a Mac Mini. So that's the first thing I got when we started.
Yeah.
And like, the drivers worked, everything just worked when I needed it to, plugging in a USB microphone, plugging in a 2x2 interface, all that stuff. No issues. Then I got a MacBook Pro, same thing, no issues. And I tried it on a gaming PC, gaming laptop, and I was like, why isn't this working? why am I fighting with drivers? I have an Xbox, so, and I have a PS5. If I'm gonna game, I'm gonna game on those things. Yeah. Or if I'm
just become old, filthy casuals. We're not looking for the highest frame rates and, you know, the most overclocked stats.
No, not anymore.
We're in our twilight years. All right.
That's right.
So we just need simple. We need one button and shiny finishes, shiny aluminum finishes on our tiny little Macintosh computers. I think that would be cool. And then I can use all of that savings to maybe look at getting a different audio interface or some other things to, kind of round out the system a little bit
more. Yeah.
I am still using the 2x2 that you mentioned. But like, listeners will have noticed already in this episode, sometimes I get a tickle in my throat, I have to cough or something. I don't have a way to like mute myself, like a simple like button, like a mute button. I mean, I do, but like, there's nothing on this side.
Does it? The 2x2 has a mute button, doesn't it?
No.
Oh,
never where mind. Is it?
No, you're right. You're right. It doesn't.
You send me a picture. Send me a picture of where it's at. It's not. And like, I can mute our Zoom call, but then the cough would still come up on my audio recording.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Sure.
And back when I recorded the video portion of this as well, it's a whole lot of mess. So yeah, we'll figure it out. All right. That's the tech minute.
All right.
What else we got going on?
Well, speaking of tech minute, I got an Apple Watch, right?
Rocking the watch.
Yeah. Tech minute. Get it? Cause it's tech and it tells time. Because it's a watch.
Seamless transition, Brandon. The best you've ever done.
You're the best. Segwayer.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling Essential Prenatal Multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. I've wanted an Apple Watch for some time, but anytime I went to an Apple store or Best Buy or wherever, I would go look at them. Like, yeah, I'm gonna spend some money, and I go look at them, and I'm like, okay, do I need GPS? And do I need cellular? I'm like, I don't know if I need cellular. Do I want a big watch like this? Like, I could use it for running, but then what about music? I'm like, well, I could download the music to the device. But I mean, but then I'll just have my phone with me anyway, and then I walk away. all of that, I'm like, I don't need to.
Run screaming out of the Apple store.
Sir, this is the fifth time this week. So this last week, Chelsea wanted to get an Apple Watch, for reasons, and so she was going to get a watch, and we went to dinner, and I was like, I want you to know, like, I thought about also getting a watch, and she knows I wanted one. Like, I thought about getting one as well, but to have it at the same time, because I don't really know how to work it. And then that way we can, figure out how to use these things together. But I also don't want to do that, because I don't want you thinking that I am just using you as an excuse to get one for me now. And she said, that's exactly what I was thinking when you said it. I'm like, then that's why I'm telling you now, right? So then the next day she goes, talks to somebody. She's hanging out with therapy. And I guess the therapist is like, oh, that's sweet that he got you an Apple Watch. And she's like, damn it. And so she texted me, and I had gone to the Apple store while she's in therapy. I went and grabbed it from the mall and then drove home. And so I get like a couple minutes after I get into the door, she's texting me, go get a watch. Like, I just got home. Like, it's a, just, well, go get one right now. Like, I need you to go get one. Please go get one. Okay. I will get one. Can you pick it up for me on the way home? She didn't get that text. So anyway, we eventually went to the mall and got it, but
if she had had a watch that alerted her to the notifications with haptic feedback.
Well, that's the thing, Travis, is we don't have Messenger or text set up for our watches. We don't like that, actually. Like, we want it for the health benefits. Yeah, like, keep track of my fitness, keep track of my sleep, keep track of my menstrual cycle. You know, the important things that I need to focus on.
You should be sharing that health data with me as a podcasting team. We should be sharing our health data.
Yeah. But it kind of goes into, she's also in like a communications class, and right now they're talking about like body language.
Yeah.
And no offense to you or other folks who have Apple Watches.
Yeah. We check our watches all the time.
When we're yes, when I'm like telling you that my mom, she got into a really bad car accident, and there may not be she may have 2 weeks to live, and all of a sudden you get some haptic feedback, and you go, yeah, no, keep going.
No, it's
I'm just checking the weather. Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, my watch is old and it's sitting on the charger because I can't make it through a whole day. Otherwise, I could do much more like realistic demonstrations of this. But yeah, I know, I totally get what you're saying. And I like to think that I'm cognizant of it, but I know there are times when I'm like checking it out of a reflex and it's probably inappropriate to be doing that. I am guilty of that.
It's really weird. And Chelsea and I talked about this of like the it's modernizing, right? Like you're getting your messages on your wrist and it's got the gestures that you can do. But although like that's kind of, that's modern, the messaging there, what hasn't caught up yet is the social aspect of like, it's like when people are yawning when you're talking to them.
Maybe
they are bored with what you're saying. Maybe they're not, maybe they're just really tired, but still like there's a, that just the body language of it.
Oh, the nonverbal of somebody being disinterested or not being connected in conversation because they yawn or they check their watch or they pull out their phone, like all of those things. Like there's plenty of people, like I'm not going to give non-watch users a pass when they check, they glance at their phone. Oh, I'm just checking the time. Or, it's just my kid. Just want to make sure there's nothing wrong. Yep. You know, like people do that all the time. Like or you hop in an elevator or something and they don't even look up. They're just, you know, like, so yes, I am acutely aware of that. The counterpoint for me on the having the messages and notifications on my watch, and it's filtered. It's not like every notification that I get, and it's got to be like thousands in a day with all the apps and crap that tries to fight for your attention in a given day. I do try to use the tools within iOS to summarize or block a lot of notifications throughout a day. So I love using focuses. I have a work focus that's set up. I have a home focus. I have one for when I'm at church. I have one for when I go to theme parks. I have a Comic-Con focus that rearranges my apps and automatically puts my phone on battery saver mode anytime we go to Comic-Con, just because it's certain things that we need to have, right? But sleep focus, all of those things are great for filtering out notifications to only allow the things that I want to be aware of, right? So most of my social media apps and things like that, I don't even get notifications from them when I'm at work.
Right.
Like, and they're not on my lock screen because I found myself for a long time, you know, sit down on my desk, pull out my phone. Oh, there's Instagram on the homepage. Well, let me just click it real quick. Oh, 10 minutes lost or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So I just created a focus where I just don't have those things on my lock screen, and my productivity increased because I'm not doing all that crap anymore. So that's where I feel like filtering out some of those notifications throughout the day, it keeps me from pulling my phone out of my pocket a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've seen the videos where somebody's like scrolling, they're like, oh, hey, check out this video. And then the person's like got a broken neck on the side of the road. They're like, oh, right, 911. Like the way that we pull out our phone and then forget the reason we pull out our phone and then just immediately default to our favorite apps or things like that. If I can look at my watch, see that Jimmy John's is running a special on their new sandwich, and that is not a reason for me to pull out my phone, then I don't pull out my phone, and I'm not. It's one less, you know, look at the screen than I would have otherwise.
I understand. You don't have to defend yourself for being wrong.
Okay. All right.
No. Yeah.
You haven't added me as a rings friend yet.
I don't know how to. I don't know how to do that.
Fitness rings. Get some challenges going.
I don't know.
I'm out of shape. I'm like in the worst shape of my life right now.
I don't know how to do that. I just have the UV index.
You got that on your as a complication on your watch face
and my heartbeat and my rings in the bottom left corner, and I've got music. So I got this Saturday. At Saturday night, Chelsea and I went to see Squirrel Nut Zippers down in LA, and listening to the music and we're dancing. It's good times, good music. And then
did you get an audio level warning?
It did. I sure as hell did. But then the music stopped, right? They're in between sets. And I hear music playing. I'm like, where's that music come? Where's that other music coming from? And I was like, oh, it's my watch. I must have pressed the music button that's in the other corner. So then I'm like, how do I turn this down? I'm like, stop doing it.
Just rip it off and throw it and then run out of there. And they're like, it's fifth time this week.
Take that. Why is this guy everywhere? Five times everywhere. Anyway, it's a good show.
It is convenient. I love the health aspects of it. I sleep with the watch on. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of the reasons I don't have it on now is because I usually charge it in the hour or so before I go to bed. That way I can sleep with it on so I can track my sleep with it as well. I also use the haptic feedback on it as my alarm clock in the morning. So instead of setting an alarm that makes noise and wakes up my wife, it just taps my wrist and that is enough to wake me up. So it kind of silently wakes me up in the morning. So I love those aspects of it as well. The fitness stuff, I mean, it's great. I didn't use a lot of the like Apple fitness stuff for a really long time because I was such a like Nike person, right. but looking at your phone while I'm talking, but don't want to be rude and get messages.
I wanted to talk about the sleep stuff and the sleep apnea stuff. I don't know if I have sleep apnea. So like, that's one thing I wanted to do was like, how am I sleeping? And I've had fitness devices before. I've had an Oura Ring. I had that. I had like some wristwatch thing. Then I also had a Fitbit, and that's kind of what I wanted out of it. The Apple Watch, because those devices are cool, right? They do a lot, but in order to use Apple's ecosystem natively, you can't have a Fitbit. You can't do it with a Fitbit. You have to download all of the extra things. And so like having an extra couple of steps to get to the data I wanted to see, I was like, I'm not going to use this Fitbit anymore. It's not whatever. Or I don't give a shit anymore.
And some companies got better about sharing data and creating APIs that work across applications to be able to, the Nike running app would share that data to the Apple Health apps so that it would record that information. But it still felt a little like disjointed at times. Like it wasn't as organic or all consolidated.
So yeah.
I totally get that. When I started, going to the gym a lot more back in like October, I wanted to track all of my workout and not just portions of it. And something like Nike Running, I could record a warm-up jog or, some cardio at the end of my workout. But all of the strength training or things like that didn't really fit into that application. Mm-hmm. So Apple's fitness app has added a lot of different types of fitness so that I could start a workout, switch between the different types of workout, from lifting to running or whatever. And then I captured all of it at one time instead of me having to go across different apps or even pull my phone out. Cause again, that's all accessible from the watch. So
here in the watch.
And it's handy.
It is. It's army.
It's wristy.
Both going that way. I got the tangerine band. Just as
it matches your trick or treat shirt.
It does actually. Chelsea got like the teal one, like the kind of light bluish one. And she was going back and forth between this one and the teal one. And so when she told me to get a watch, she yelled at me. She's like, go now. I was like, you know what?
Why are you still at home?
She was going back and forth with the color bands. I'm going to get the other band color that she liked. That way, if she doesn't like the one she has, then she has this one that she can go for, and then we'll just trade. But they're $45 each, so it's
the bands?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, get the off-market ones on like Amazon or
something. Yeah, it's too much money. Too much money.
I always tell myself that, like, oh yeah, all these customizable bands, I'll get like a new band, or I'll swap out bands all the time. I have the same black silicone band on my watch that I've had for years, like 4 or 5 years. Same thing with my cell phones. I just upgraded my cell phone recently. As soon as we buy phones, I immediately go to like Five Below and get everybody cheap, like $5 cases.
Oh yeah.
Just to get something on the phone.
Yeah.
And then if you want to get a loopy case, Sheena, or the kids want to get some other kind of design, have at it. And I always tell myself, yeah, I'll find something that I really like. And
eventually I'll get something.
I had the same $5 case on my phone for like 3 years on the last phone. This one will probably last just as long. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It's one of those things.
No, yeah.
I do need to update my watch. I need to get a newer watch. Sheena keeps telling me just go buy one. But the things that they've been able to pack into the watches now, the health benefits, the heart rate monitors, things like that. We got a watch for my daughter when she got her diagnosis, just so that we could monitor a lot of things that were going on with her physically. And she has issues with like hemoglobin and stuff, which can cause her to faint or stuff like that. And if she's wearing her watch, that will send alerts to us if that ever happens. So there's a lot of things that are like real significant health benefits that go beyond just being able to check your text messages during a meeting or something.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, I talked about like with Fitbit and having to go through a bunch of different steps to get the data. Part of it is it being right there without us needing to do anything, and not needing a cellular because it'll sync up with your phone once you're back in range. Like no issues there. It's just like taking a little bit of the anxiety off of like, how is my body doing? How many steps did I do? You know, like instead of like trying to do that manually, okay, it's providing that to you and summing it up. And I think that's, you know, that is one extra thing that you can take off of your plate, your mental plate.
Do you have any, especially with your background in cybersecurity and all of these things, do you have any reservations about storing lots of health data on your phone, or how much health data is being collected from these devices and then being able to be shared or be stored?
I do. But also, how secure is our medical here in the States, right? Like,
yeah.
I being in cybersecurity, I know how infrequently people in leadership positions actually care or worry about cybersecurity until something bad happens. They think of cybersecurity as like, okay, now we're reacting to a ransomware attack or something like that. Man, we should have put money towards this. We should have put up did some more disaster recovery preparation and have accurate backups with a good contingency plan in place. And an incident recovery plan. Like we need those things. You know, let's put some more servers in. Let's spend the money to make sure that we take care of our customers and ourselves.
Now that it's too late.
Now that it's too late. And before that, it's like, well, I need one to two more people to help us get after the security of our systems, of our site. Yeah, I don't know about the justification though. Like, your network won't exist if you don't if you don't give it. You know, so it's always an after. Same thing with IT, right? Like, of course, I'm talking cybersecurity, but IT is the same way. Like tech refresh, right? You're talking about your computer and having to update your computer after 10 years. When Windows 12 comes out eventually, your computer's not going to be able to handle it. It's going to...
No, I'm not even running 11 on here, and it's like, yeah.
And
I'm getting notifications all the time about how like it's not going to be supported in like 3 days or whatever.
And would
you, I just ignore them all. It's probably fine.
And would your computer even be able to handle Windows 11? Like it might, you know, but it also might not. And so that's a whole thing. Like in industries where they're dependent on security, talk about supply chain. Supply chain is a big thing, right? Like everyone thinks about the end product, the end, like where the data is that people want to steal. Well, okay, what's the easiest way to get into a system like that? Is it by hitting it directly? No, it's by going up the stream and finding out where that ingestion point, the easiest part of ingestion is. Okay, that's where I'm going to attack. So supply chain, open source software, that's a big one. Like GitHub, right? Just what kind of code is being put in there by all the different contributors that are in security or that are coders?
It's crazy. And, I mean, there is that risk that anyone has access to the source code, but then there's also the other side of it where everyone has access to the source code. So if people are actively involved with it, they can catch those things that are added or removed when you have a large group of people working on it. Now, if you have like one person that wrote some code and then allowed some contributors and maybe they're swamped or they're not paying attention, yeah, that invites additional risk. Like, we won't debate the pros and cons of open source with the few moments we have left in this episode.
But, open source is great. It is fantastic. But you know,
there's risk.
It's a supply chain risk. Yeah.
True.
Which is why
you should
data.
Buy an Apple Watch. Yeah.
getting back to it. Yeah. So I am concerned about it, but there, like, I'm concerned about a lot of things that are going, like using a Signal app for top secret conversations, you know, things like that.
Yeah. That would be terrible if somebody did that.
I would never do that.
Okay. Well, congrats on the watches.
Thank you.
Hopefully you guys, you know, get great use out of them. Thanks for sharing your location with me.
Of course.
It's good to know where you're at all given times.
Yeah. When I get home, I hope it pings you.
It doesn't.
I'll configure
it. You probably
could
set it up. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That is something that my family has set up with an app for like keeping track of each other and stuff. Our house is nicknamed Where the Party's At. So anytime anybody goes home, Sheena has arrived where the party's at. I don't know. I don't know what else is going on. I'm home. Everybody's home.
Good.
We're not in the hospital. So hence my 2 weeks in a row being able to be on the podcast. I'm very thankful for that. In a personal bit of news, we got some test results back after... You know, 3 months of chemotherapy, my daughter's in remission. The test of her bone marrow for cancer cells was negative, which is, it's phenomenal. I couldn't be more ecstatic for that. That also sets a 2-year clock of additional chemo that she has to do for 2 years to keep it that way. So it's definitely far from being over in terms of this entire process, but it is a significant win that what she's gone through so far is working, and so that's awesome. So happy about that, and just happy to be home with my family and not sleeping on a cot in a hospital room.
Chelsea and I are super happy to hear it. We celebrated by going to see Squirrel and Zippers on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's
the only fitting way to celebrate.
It's wonderful. Travis, next week, Chelsea, win, lose, or draw will be probably on the show. And here's why, right? Because this weekend is WonderCon in Anaheim. And
there it is.
And guess what? It is our annual tradition now. Chelsea, Dexter, and I going to WonderCon, and me awkwardly standing in the back, not talking to booth people. Chelsea awkwardly talking to booth people, and then us bringing you some hard hitting coverage of the show floor. So,
love it. Yeah. So, any notable names or panels that you're looking out for with WonderCon?
No. I haven't looked anything up at all. It's kind of this year is strange, right? Like all the
you're telling me.
Yeah. Sorry. You know, I asked you right, but of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Rick and Morty and like seeking out interviews and like doing a lot of that stuff. Right now, my heart's not super into it. I just like, I'm kind of like, I should reach out to Adult Swim, but if they're there, they're there. there are, I'm getting emails like, oh, if you'd be interested in going to this panel and interviewing the people, I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. I don't want to go.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. There's definitely a lingering thought in the back of my head about like what does San Diego Comic-Con look like this year. Realistically, my daughter's reactions to treatment have been a little bit more intense than is the norm. Yeah. for kids that are usually going through this form of treatment. So most kids are not in the hospital, you know, 3 out of the 4 months mm-hmm. of their first 4 months. Her GI system reacts kind of extreme in an extreme way. They're still trying to figure out why that is. And so optimistically, she's in maintenance. Things kind of start to slow down a little bit, and I can take, you know, 4 days in San Diego to hang out and go. We'll see. You know, we'll see where things are at and what's going on. But yeah, I love going to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I love hanging out with you for 4 days.
If you don't make it, can I still stay at Instantee with your mother-in-law?
Yeah, you can still stay with my mother-in-law. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
You have to ride the trolley though.
40 more stops.
40 damn, more stops.
Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of places I want to go, a lot of travel I want to do coming up. So we're just going to see not just me by myself, but as a family. And so lots of things we want to do. At some point, Ravensburger, the company that makes Lorcana, is going to announce more Disney Lorcana challenges, the big tournaments. And I want to take my kid to one. Like, I want to take my son to go play in one.
He won a championship.
He did. Yes. So this weekend, the game store that we play at most held a monthly. They're starting to incorporate monthly tournaments where you could win a box. You could win a box of cards.
What's in the box?
24 packs of trading cards. That's
what's in the box. Oh, man.
We had 9 players show up to the event. It was 3 rounds of Swiss mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. You play people with a similar record. Mm-hmm. And he was really like not confident. I would I don't think he wasn't confident. Like, he knows how to play the deck that he's built, but he hadn't made much changes since the new cards came out. And since these new cards have come out, there are color combinations that work really well and are just kind of dominating the meta, as they say. And so he's like, well, I'm going to play. We'll see how it goes. I kind of felt the same way. I built a random deck that I had seen online, and I was like playing it online to test it, and I was losing every game. And I was like, I am going to go 0-3 and just donate my money to a good cause, I guess. But yeah, so my son won all of his games, all of his rounds, went 3-0. Unfortunately, because of the number of people we had, two people ended up 3-0 by the end of the tournament. So they gave them an option. The other guy that was 3-0 beat me in the last round. So he beat me, got his third win. My son got his third win. And then they said, well, you guys can play a fourth round and determine who wins the box, or you guys can just split it. What do you guys want to do? And my son was like, split it. Just if I play and I lose, I would rather have, like, you know, half of the cards in the box than none of them. And the guy, turns out he had like homework or something for college that he had to go do. So he's like, I really need to leave anyway. So yeah, let's split it.
Okay.
And yeah, then
that's good.
They opened the packs there. My son got like one of the most expensive cards right now in the game. And so did the other guy, but the one that my son got was foil. Mm. And the other guy wanted to collect the foil version. So he traded the card with my son and then gave him an extra $20 to cover the difference of what the foil version's going for. So my son made out like gangbusters. Like, he got a ton of cards, got some cash. I paid for his entry into the tournament. He did not reimburse me when he got that money. I'm just saying. But no, it's a lot of fun. It's still one of those things that me and my son can do together and have a lot of fun with. So yeah.
That's right.
One day I'll get you to play a game with me. It'll happen.
I played a game with you one time online.
Yeah, that's true.
Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah, there's a new online platform. It's not official, but it exists.
What is it? What's it called?
I think the terms and conditions would not allow me to say what it is.
Oh.
On this recording, but I can talk about it later.
Okay. All yeah. right.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Travis, thank you so much for hanging out with me again. You know, being a guest on my show.
I'm honored. Thank you for having
filling
me.
Filling in for Chelsea. folks who are listening, you know, thanks for listening, first of all. Second of all, head out to all those links that we didn't mention at the start of the show and send us a
line. Mentioned all of our social links.
Did we? I wasn't paying attention. I was on my phone.
Because I was doing it because I'm back, so I can do that for you now.
That's why I don't remember them going off, was like, I don't remember saying any of them.
I'm here for you, man.
All right, yeah, all those links that Travis talked about. But yeah, man, glad to know things are looking up.
Enjoy WonderCon. Yeah. We expect a full report when you guys get back. Until then, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Original sound for musicians.